Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
And way out there, he'll hear our prayer and show us when there's water, cool water, clear water, water.
Water. Cool water. It's an increasingly rare commodity in our northern lakes, reservoirs, and rivers. 8 years of drought have left some of the region's best fishing spots several feet below normal, with some reports suggesting that water levels are lower than they've been in 80 years. It has taken its toll on the tourist industry, on fishermen, on lakeside homeowners, on real estate agents, and on whole ecosystems, fish populations, and water clarity, and on the surrounding forests, which are more susceptible to disease and the ravages of insects. In some cases, even private wells are drying up. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we look at the effects of drought and the efforts to manage the supply of water in Wisconsin's North Woods. Joining us by telephone, Jim Bishop, the public affairs manager with the Department of Natural Resources, whose territory covers much of the state's Lakeland area north of Marathon County. And here in our studio, we've got Sam Morgan, the Vice President of Operations for Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company, which regulates the water level of the flowages connected to the Wisconsin River system, and whose office is the recipient of regular phone calls from local residents alarmed at the ongoing effects of the 8-year drought. Are you alarmed? Do you have questions about how the DNR and Wisconsin Valley Improvement are dealing with this ongoing environmental problem? If so, you can give us a call at 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area, or call us toll-free anywhere you're listening at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Well, we got some rain over the past couple of weeks, which is great, but we've got a long way to go to replenish the levels of our lakes and rivers. So let's start with you, Jim Bishop. How has the relatively wet June made a difference in some of our parched northern lakes?
Well, it's brought them up several inches, and it's helped out quite a bit, especially where you've got lakes that are fed in by streams. Some of our groundwater seepage lakes are hardly even noticing any of the difference whatsoever, and those will take quite a bit of time to recover, and we're going to need much more rain in order to replenish those groundwater reserves.
Sam Morgan, how has the recent rainfall affected our reservoirs?
Well, it's certainly been a positive. We're not back to normal, certainly, but we've seen some dramatically increasing water levels in some of our reservoirs in the north. For example, our Rainbow Reservoir, which is outside of Lake Tomahawk, Wisconsin, went into June 16 feet below full, believe it or not, which is a lot for a lake to be down. That's only about 30 feet deep, to be down 16 feet. But it's thanks to the June rain, it's now popped up 5 feet from where we started the month. So we've gone from 16 feet down to 11 feet down, but it's been a nice increase of 5 feet.
That's a big difference.
That's a big difference. And all the reservoirs have seen that to some extent. Our Willow Reservoir outside of Hazelhurst, that had been down 10 feet in early June, has come up 4 feet, and people are familiar with the Willow. It is a huge reservoir, and it's for that to come up 4 feet, that takes a lot of rain. And thank God that's exactly where we got the rain in the north, because the Willow got over 11 inches of rain in June, which is pretty spectacular. So the Willow's up for what we call our Rice Reservoir, Lake Nokomis near Tomahawk, has come up 3. Our Spirit Reservoir has come up about 2 or 3 feet. And our Eau Plaine Reservoir, our biggest reservoir actually outside of Mosinee here, is within 6 inches of full, which is really doing after being down.
You know, and I've noticed the Wisconsin River, too, looks like it's almost back to normal in some spots.
It's back to normal, but I would caution people that's temporary. Because what we see after an extended drought is you get some rain, river flows come up for about 3 or 4 days, and then the effect of the drought takes over, and the effect of the low groundwater takes over, and the dry soil takes over, and river flows drop just as fast as they go up. And Unfortunately, we're already in that downward trend, and it's only been about 5 days since it stopped raining.
And we've got a big holiday weekend ahead of us, too.
Right.
I put together, gentlemen, some statistics for various parts of north-central Wisconsin demonstrating this deficit of precipitation that we've had over the past 8 years. The Rest Lake Reservoir near Manitowish Waters, Sam, that you just mentioned, precipitation there down 60 inches over 8 years. The Rice was Reservoir down 55 inches. The Rhinelander area down 48 inches. Wausau down 40 inches. Minocqua down 37 inches. Antigo down 35 inches. Merrill down 33 inches. Marshfield down 32 inches, and as you move further south, it gets better. Wisconsin Rapids down 23 inches. So, Jim, how do these figures on precipitation translate to the actual water levels on these hardest-hit lakes? And I imagine it's different depending on whether you've got a spring-fed lake or not.
Yeah, and almost every single waterway, and I'm talking lakes and the reservoirs, they're all different, and they're all going to show different signs of reaction to the drought and to any type of rainfalls that we get. But the we've got a lake over here in Washburn County that's down about 16 feet, just a regular lake,
is
about 16 feet below normal.
Is that the now falsely named Deep Lake?
That's the now falsely named Deep Lake,
yeah.
Right. And
wow.
that's come up somewhat. And there was a gentleman that I ran into while I was over there looking at it, and an older gentleman, and he looked at me and he said, "Jim, I don't think in my lifetime I'm going to be able to see this lake come back up to where it was when I bought it, and that's at the ordinary high water mark."
And that's tough for people who are homeowners, you know, lakefront homeowners. That's a dream of so many people to own lakefront property, and then you see that dream just kind of drying up in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it's really tough, and we've been getting quite a number of phone calls, and we're, you know, what can we do? And we can essentially say nothing. I mean, Mother Nature has taken over, and we're in the cyclical drought. Things will eventually return back to normal, but it just takes time.
Sam Morgan at Wisconsin Valley Improvement, I imagine you're getting quite a few phone calls too.
Well, certainly we do, and I think the thing that's prompted the most phone calls for us this year is that, let me back up a little bit, we operate basically two different kinds of dams. We have our five large reservoirs, that are the ones I talked about, Rainbow, Willow, Rice, Spirit, and Eau Plaine. And there, of course, there's a lot of property owners on those lakes, but they're used to seeing them go up and down some amount because they do every year. All of those reservoirs, which are working reservoirs to regulate the flow of the river, will go up and down 5, 6, 7, 8 feet, even in a normal year.
Right.
So people are used to that. In the drought period, they've seen them go down 10 or 15 feet. So they've seen a bigger variation, but they're used to seeing the change. We also operate 16 dams that we call our natural lake reservoirs, which, as the name implies, are lakes that were natural lakes that were artificially made bigger by placing a dam at the outlet of the lake. And in a normal year, we operate those to keep them relatively full and steady all summer, and only use them for reservoir operation in the winter and spring, in the spring, for flood control.
Have you been able to do that?
Well, what happened this year was, in a normal spring, those natural lake reservoirs will fill up about halfway on snowmelt, and then they'll fill up the other halfway on April and May rains. And normally, by about the opening of fishing season, those lakes will be up to normal. They've been up to normal even into the seventh year of our 8-year drought. We were able to get them full in the summertime. This year was a different story because they filled up a little bit on snowmelt, and rain this spring was just completely missing in the North Woods in April and May.
What do you tell a homeowner when he calls you up and says, "Hey, you're draining my lake"?
I try to explain to them that, you know, the obvious things, that we're in the eighth year of a drought, and the biggest thing is I have to explain to them that, you know, there's a pattern for operating those lakes that in probably 99 out of 100 years gives those people more stable water levels than they would get in a truly natural lake. But unfortunately, in 2010, they were seeing that 1 year in 100 where the operating pattern didn't work out because of the dry spring, and they saw some really low lake levels in May and June this year.
Well, speaking of phone calls, let's go to the phones. And Larry up in Vilas County, I was about to take you, but you dropped off, so give us a call back, and we'll try to get you on in a hurry if you're still listening. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's take Tim in Stratford. Tim, you are on Route 51. Hello, Tim.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing well.
My question is for Sam. It's a two-part question. Sam, what happens when you run out of water?
What happens when? Well, we haven't truly run out of water yet.
Pretty close, though, right?
Well, at the end of the last couple summers, reservoir levels have been really low, so we've come close to getting as low as we can possibly get there. But understand that we operate the reservoirs in a balance with the flow of the Wisconsin River. The target is to try and keep the Wisconsin River at a uniform level, but the word uniform is a flexible definition. And in a normal year, for example, the Wisconsin River here in Merrill, I hate to throw too many numbers at you, but I have to try and explain it. In a normal year, we would try and regulate the flow of the Wisconsin River here in the Wausau area to be about 2,000 cubic feet per second. The last couple summers, we've tried to regulate it to be 900, or about 55 or 60% below what it would be in a normal year. So
And you can tell the difference. Sometimes it looks like, man, you just pulled the plug on the bottom of the river, and it's, there's all these dry areas that you never could see before.
It is dry, but, to answer your question, the river flows keep ratcheting down every year we get into the drought, and unfortunately so do the reservoir levels sometimes. And we need to be
more specific. For instance, we didn't get the rain that just came for the last week, and I live on the old plain flowage.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been hurting. You'd had no water to keep pulling from. True?
Well, the Eau Plaine was coming into June was down 3 feet, which is not where we'd like to see it, but it's a whole heck of a lot better than the reservoirs in the Northwoods that were down 10 or 15 or 16, something like that. And that's two reasons for that. One is it was just a little wetter in the Marathon County area than it's been in Vilas and Oneida County. And the other thing is the Eau Plaine Reservoir just plain fills easier than the ones in the north because the soils around here generate a lot more runoff than the soils in the Northwoods do.
But you're also quoted in the Record Review, I believe, as saying that you're going to crack the dam open in early July.
July 5th is when you usually open.
Yeah, that's. But understand, our operation doesn't revolve around the calendar. It revolves around rainfall conditions and the time. And, I think when I talked to the people at the Record Review, that was probably a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me a general question of, well, if we don't get much rain, when might you start opening the dam? And I said, well, probably about the first week of July. Mm. I think now that we've had all this rain in June, we've probably prolonged the need to have to let any water out of the Big Old Plain until at least the middle of July, and that's only if it stays dry.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Tim, just a second. Are you involved with the local homeowners group there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Give me your last name.
Garrigan, Tim Garrigan.
Tim, you were the former president of the Homeowners Association in Stratford.
Yes, I was.
How do you see that Eau Plaine Reservoir coming back? We had that terrible fish kill last spring, and now you're giving a bounty for people who catch carp, which indicates that the fishery certainly hasn't recovered. How do you see things recovering from what happened at on the Eau Plaine Reservoir a year ago?
Slowly. I don't believe. I believe as a citizen group, we tried to do a few things to make it go a little quicker. But I do realize that it's political and we have to take our time. But we wanted to do maybe some fish stocking or such, and that we're the. I was told that 4 to 6, 7 years it could be back to where it was. But as far as the water level goes, it is beautiful now. It's clean. It's full. It's slow.
Well, we've got Jim Bishop of the DNR on the line right now. Why don't I ask you the same question? How long would it take something like the Eau Plaine Reservoir to recover from that massive fish kill that we had?
Depending upon the nutrient levels, anywhere from 3, 4, 5 years. If you planted some fingerling, 2 to 3 inch fish, walleyes, northerns in there, maybe along with some additional panfish stocking, 3 to 4 or 5 years before they're up to catchable size.
So it's going to be a long haul. Tim, how many fishermen do you see out there on a regular basis?
Oh, you don't see them anymore. That's null and void. And the other thing is we have a lot of elderly people that are in the citizens organization. When you tell an 85-year-old man that he'll be back in 5 to 7 years, it doesn't sit real well with them.
Right, right. I mean, that could be his entire lifespan.
But I don't blame anybody on that. I mean, I do believe the WVIC is doing the best they can. I have no ill will towards them.
You know,
or the DNR.
Deb Hotchkiss of Hotchkiss's Last Cast on the Old Plain, she was quoted in the newspaper saying that she didn't have any fishermen in her establishment at all on opening day. So it's got to be really affecting the businesses around your reservoir.
The winner of the walleye tournament at Hotchkiss was the only person that caught a fish. The only person that caught a legal walleye. So yeah, that kind of tells. We had somebody went around to every boat landing on opening fishing, and there were 8 boats. So it's got to affect. Maybe we don't have a lot of bars that are on the water. We only have one truly, but economically, yeah, it has to affect them. I'm sure the bait shops.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for checking in with us and good luck and keep us informed as to how things are going. And again, Sam, when you open those floodgates, maybe that's not the term I should be using on July 5th. Is there any way you can hold back some water on some of these, reservoirs like the Old Plain or are your hands kind of tied?
No, we've actually, lowered river flow targets this year well below what they would be in a normal year. We've been in contact with the Wisconsin DNR and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and agreed that given the 8-year drought, we had to keep river flow targets much lower than they would be in anything that resembled a normal year. For example, for operating the Old Plain Reservoir, we set a target river flow at Wisconsin Rapids downstream. And in a normal year, we would have been targeting a flow of maybe 2,500 cubic feet per second. This year, we ratcheted it all the way down to 1,300 because of the drought.
Okay.
So that will...
Almost half.
Almost half. So that will, conserve water a little bit because we realize that even though we've had some rain in June, 1 month doesn't make up for 8 dry years. So we have to play it pretty close to the vest until we finally start getting back to normal here again.
Okay.
That having been said, water levels are still could go down this year. We can't save every drop in the lakes, but we can certainly temper the drawdown that might be because of the drought conditions.
We've got to take a quick break. Tim, thanks so much for the phone call. Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, Jim Bishop of the DNR. We're talking about the 8-year drought, how it's affecting our lakes, our rivers, our reservoirs, and the ecosystems that depend on them, and, of course, the tourist industry. We want to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Oh, I wish it would rain.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Our guest, Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, and Jim Bishop of the DNR. Let's squeeze in another phone call here before the news break. And Tom in Baraboo, you're on Route 51.
Yes, sir. I live about 9 miles below the Wisconsin Dells Dam on the Wisconsin River.
Okay.
And we've got a real hard time down here. Some days the water comes way up overnight, and next day it goes down. It stays down for 2-3 days, and it comes way back up again. I don't know who's pulling the trigger up there in the Dells Dam. I know there's things that have to be done to keep the Dells boats running, but it just, there's no rhyme or reason to some of this stuff here. That's the way it seems to me, sir. So, well, I'll take my answer off the air.
All right,
sir.
Tom, thanks so much for the phone call.
I wish I could ask him when he's been seeing this. I would assume he's talking in the recent past.
Tom, you still on with us?
Sam's asking a question. Yeah.
When have you been seeing this fluctuation that you're complaining about?
Oh, gosh, I was for years.
Okay. I was wondering if it was just in the last week or two, or if this was an ongoing situation.
Actually, the water is higher now than what has been for the last 10, 12 summers.
All right, and Sam, I hate to rush your answer, but we've got a minute before the news break, so.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say there's two things that can lead to that. One, of course, would be sporadic rainfall events that cause the river flow to go up and down. The other thing would be, of course, is that, as the caller pointed out, there are several hydroelectric dams upstream from his location, and depending on what they're trying to do to match their hydropower generation to the electric load out there, they will change flows periodically. So he could be seeing some of that, too.
Do you control the flow that far south?
No, we don't. Actually, that stretch of the river, the dam in Wisconsin Dells that he's referring to is actually operated by Alliant Energy, who are the electric utility in the southern part of the state.
There you go. We got to take a break for news. We've got Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement and Jim Bishop of the Department of Natural Resources talking about the effects of the 8-year drought, which has devastated our reservoirs and our lakes and our rivers up north. We want to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We'll be back after this news.
Comes from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, dedicated to improving the independence, productivity, and integration of people with developmental disabilities. Info at wi-bpdd.org.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water. Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
Water.
Cool
water.
Clear water.
That old song by the Sons of Pioneers was written about the desert in Arizona, but a lot of folks in Vilas County and Oneida County and all across the North Woods are calling out for cool, clear water as we enter the 8th year of a sustained drought that has dried up some of our lakes and our reservoirs and our rivers, even some well water. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're back with Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, the company that regulates the flow of water into and out of our reservoirs each year, and also Jim Bishop of the Department of Natural Resources. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you've got a question about how Wisconsin Valley Improvement does its work or what we can do as citizens to help mitigate the effects of this drought, here's the number, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Jim Bishop, in the first half of the show, you mentioned that this was a cyclical climate problem, but according to some climate scientists, a guy named John Lenters of the University of Nebraska, and there was also a UW Extension posting on the web, the pattern of floods in the south and drought in the north, they say, is a product of climate change and global warming. What do you think the chances are of that?
Well, yeah, and I've heard that, and it has been suggested. And there's a very real possibility of that. I'm just going with my current available information and things that I have learned in my past. I can remember, I grew up in the Tomahawk area. I can remember my uncles planting trees in the late 50s, and for three successive years, all their plantings were mostly failures because of the drought that was sustained at that time. So I know I've gone through a few of these cycles myself. Now, whether or not, we will go through more of these droughts in the future, you know, longer sustained droughts with more frequency, that I couldn't comment on.
How much rain and snow do we need over what length of time to get things back to normal on some of our lakes? Some of the areas are down 60 inches of rain over the past 10 years.
The exact amounts, I don't know, and it pretty much varies. You know, the refilling of these lakes vary. I mean, we talked about Deep Lake earlier, and I remember a gentleman that I talked to over there, and he can remember back in the 80s when that lake was very, very low, too. And he said within a couple of years, with some good rainfall, that lake, you know, filled right back up to normal. It's just going to be a sustained period of a little above average rainfall to bring these lakes and reservoirs back up.
And Sam Morgan, you were saying that even with the rain that we've had over the last couple of weeks, it's helped quite a bit.
It's surprising it has, yeah. When I was driving over here, I was thinking this is going to be an interesting situation to talk about a drought, because right before I came over, I added up the rain for June. Now that June's over, and believe it or not, in Vilas and Oneida County, they averaged 8.28 inches of rain this June, and we have rainfall records for that area going back 120 years, and June 2010 was the third wettest June that they've ever had in that area. In 1905 was slightly wetter, and 1968 was slightly wetter, but 2010 is number three in 120 on the right end of the scale, on the high side of the scale. So that's kind of interesting. But you know, it has had a positive effect in our reservoirs. Rain can fill them up. We don't need, if we're 60 inches below normal, we don't need 60 inches of rain to fill the lake back up again, because they rely on surface runoff. So, you know, if we could get a wet July, we could probably see some of our reservoirs in the north come pretty close to being full. But the long-term answer is, if you're 60 inches or 40 inches short, at some point in time, you have to get that back, to get the groundwater back up to normal, to get the wetlands back up to normal, so that river flow actually runs on its own in between rainfall events. And that's what we've been seeing the last couple of years, is that the river will pick up after a rain, but it'll pick up for about 2 days, and then as soon as the rain's gone, bang, it's back down to nothing again. So to get the river to stay running in between rainfall events, we eventually need to get that 40 or 60 inches of rain back again.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-780-9742. Joe in Ironwood, you're on Route 51. Hello, Joe.
Yes, many years ago, I owned land on the Eagle River chain, and I've been thinking about buying land on it again. And I was just wondering, what does the future look like for water levels on the chain, and how is that chain governed?
Jim Bishop, maybe you've got an idea of how it's suffering right now, or Sam, which one of you want to take it?
I could probably take that one, being somewhat intimately familiar with that. The Eagle River chain itself, Eagle River chain of lakes, is formed by the Otter Rapids hydroelectric plant just outside of Eagle River. And hydroelectric plants are operated with basically a constant water level year round, even in drought periods. So the Eagle chain has actually fared very, very well through the drought. It's essentially at its normal level, and the prospects in the future are that it will stay pretty much at that normal level. So I'd say if you're interested in property there, I wouldn't worry about water levels too much, because being the lake behind a hydroelectric dam, you're probably pretty safe even in the drought.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to play a short tape for you gentlemen. I had Joe Bucher, the noted fishing guide, who's based in Eagle River, talking about the effects of the drought on fishing in some of the lakes in Vilas County, and the fact that where there are flowages that are regulated by dams, that seems to be where most of the fishermen are going because they've got the most stable water levels. Here's Joe Bucher, and again, this was recorded 3 weeks ago.
It's really worse than it's ever been up here. It's to a point where it's frustrating. I can't imagine what, you know, these people that haven't been here yet this year, when that own properties on these lakes, when they come up and they try to put their boats in and their docks in, they are going to be in for a huge surprise. I'm having lots of trouble finding places to actually get in and fish. Strip down, get out of the boat, and you got to walk your boat out in the water, and you know, to get your boat in the water.
Yeah, it's,
you're lucky if you can do that.
You know, it's really a shame. Those of us who live in central Wisconsin were used to going to, say, the Eau Plaine Reservoir and seeing these docks that extend out and then just kind of drop 20 or 30 feet into nothing. I mean,
yeah,
there's no water out there. And to think of our priceless heritage, our northern lakes, being in a lot of the same shape, is it's really disheartening.
Yeah, it really is. It's created an interesting thing up here, because it's created clusters of anglers on, you know, it's like we have about one-third the bodies of water appear to fish, so everybody's going to where the flowages and stuff that have where they can regulate the water from some kind of a dam flow.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever there's a good boat landing and decent water levels, that's where all the anglers have been fishing. But I'll tell you, the other thing about it is if you can get out there, you do see some of the shoreline structure in some of the mid-lake structure from an exposed standpoint, so it's a really cool learning process.
So hopefully when the water levels go back up again, you'll know where to go, because all of that's visible to you.
Yes, you really learn the configuration and the topography. You get to learn a lake in a whole different way, so, you know, there's some pluses and minuses to low water, but right now, you know, there's a lot of minuses from an access standpoint, and there's a lot of my favorite lakes up here that I just can't get my boat into.
Fishing guide Joe Bucher talking about some of the frustrations he's experienced fishing in Vilas County because of the drought. And, Jim Bishop, how has this drought affected the fish population in some of our lakes?
Well, it hasn't affected the fish populations too much. What it's done is, when the water levels go down, of course, it concentrates the prey species as well as, you know, the larger fish that prey on them. So people think it's easier to catch some of these bass and walleye when that's just not the case. Because again, there's the concentration of the prey species being there. But what we're finding is that the bass, largemouth and smallmouth bass, who like clear water, and because of the drought, the waters are generally shallow and clear.
So droughts tend
to favor bass over walleye, and so we're seeing more of a trend now towards a bass fishery than a walleye fishery, where you find the two together.
Well, if you talk to most fishermen, they'd rather be fishing for walleye than bass, especially up north. I know there are a lot of devoted bass fishermen, but that's a problem if our walleye fishery is taking a hit.
Yes, it is. And again, as you mentioned, people, as we have found, walleye are generally favored 2-1 over bass.
Does this also cause a problem in some of our trout streams, if you've got large amounts of trout suddenly congregating in the few deep pools that are left?
Yes, it does. And when you find these deep pools, it's pretty easy to take a lot of trout out of them. And if there's not much there for a forage base, they literally eat themselves out of house and home. They'll take just about anything you throw in them. So we ask anglers to use a little caution and some discretion when they find these areas.
Anything anglers or homeowners should do with some of our lower lakes too, to help mitigate the effects of the drought? If you're a homeowner and you've got an exposed lake bed, for instance, should that be left alone so that
just leave it alone, right? We discourage everyone from removing any woody vegetation. Mother Nature has been going through these droughts for thousands and thousands of years. We will get through this one too, and the shorelines will respond as nature dictates. Sometimes when humans get in there and start messing around, that's when we get into some trouble.
Well, Joe Bucher was talking about the exposed shorelines and seeing all the structure, and that structure is important when the water level is up because it provides a sanctuary for small fish and a place for fish eggs. Isn't that the case?
That is exactly the case, and it also provides a place where the very essence of the plankton life begins. And it just works its way right up through the food chain. So if you've got good, healthy structure, if you've got plenty of rocks and woody vegetation down there, you're going to find an increase in the fishery populations.
So, in other words, if you're a homeowner or an angler and you see that exposed shoreline, that's not a beach. You need to leave it alone.
You need to leave it alone. There are places for beaches, but... the best thing that a person can do for a fishery is to leave that exposed shoreline alone.
Let's take another phone call. I believe, Jim who's calling us?
Yes, my name is Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
And Jim, where are you calling from?
I have a cottage in Oneida County.
And what's your question?
I recently talked to one of my neighbors, and he actually was talking about pumping water from the lake to use for personal use, and I thought, boy, talk about adding insult to injury. Is that something that people are allowed to do? I would think that in these times of drought that the DNR would prohibit that sort of thing.
I know a lot of people in some places like to draw from the river, draw from lakes, and water their gardens and so on. Jim Bishop, does the law say anything about that? And if it doesn't, should it?
I don't really have an answer for you, Jim. You're almost going to have to check with the local water regulation and zoning people. Some of this stuff is regulated by local zoning. Some of the stuff is located by the department. And I'm just going to have to ask you to call the Rylander Service Center and talk to the water regulation and zoning person there to answer that.
Well. I guess the other question, Jim, and correct me if you're wrong, you're wondering if it's a good idea.
Well, it seems to me to be a poor idea, given that water is a public resource, and it bothers me that someone would do this, and, you know, perhaps they're allowed to do it. I'll have to call, but it seems like a poor idea to me, but I'll, you know, defer to your interviewee there.
Jim Bishop, a good idea or a poor idea, or maybe it depends on your location?
Depends upon your location and the amount of water coming into these into the various lakes and reservoir systems that we've got. A lot of these lakes that have got good infiltration of water can take a sustained pumping from quite a number of sources to green up the gardens and the lawns around these lakes, others not so much.
Okay, Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, Jim Bishop of the DNR. We're talking about the drought and its effects on Northwoods Lakes. 1-800-780-9742. We will be back after this.
Now all I needed was the rain. All I needed was this rain. All I needed was rain.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of this station. Thanks very much.
This is Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking to Sam Morgan of Wisconsin Valley Improvement and Jim Bishop of the DNR about the effects of the drought on our northern lakes and habitats. Jim Bishop, let's look at how the low water levels and the drought are affecting some of the other animal species. What about the effects of beavers and aquatic mammals?
Yeah, beavers are having a bit of a hard time of it, and they're more susceptible to prey from other predators like wolves. And, you know, any time that they're exposed, again, they're fair game. Another, like
salamanders and some of these amphibians that depend upon rain and a lot of moisture, too. We tend to lose quite a few of those.
Has the frog population declined?
The frog population has declined, too, yes.
What about the effects on ducks and other waterfowl?
Because of the dry spring, we had a very relatively dry spring going into this year, we did lose some duck production, some waterfowl production.
Some plant species apparently are doing better than others. I read that blackberries, raspberries, and so on have been hurt, and oak trees are producing fewer acorns.
That's right. During the drought, we do find that the berries are cut back quite a bit, especially the lowbush cranberries, blackberries, raspberries, those species that are those plants that depend upon a little moisture in order to boost their berry production. And consequently, also, that can cause some problems because some of the animals, especially bears that feed on those, when the time comes, if those aren't there, they tend to forage in and around human areas.
So they're going to be looking for your garbage cans and your bird feeders more than they might be normally.
More than they might be normally. And when we lose, when we don't have the acorns there, you know, we've got a whole host of animals, you know, deer and squirrels that feed on these acorns. When those aren't there, they're out there foraging a little bit harder for food, too.
And some of the trees, the red oaks and the white birch, more vulnerable to insects?
Yes, especially the oaks that are in the sandier soil country, like we've got over here near Spooner. Not so much where you've got your darker, heavier soils, but we've got the pine bark beetle and the two-line chestnut borer that feed on the oaks. And when these trees get dry, most of the energy that is needed to sustain, you know, growth goes uses whatever moisture just to sustain itself, and this causes a lot of stress on the trees. The insects come in, and they can, you know, kill the trees.
Let's go back to the phones. We have time for one more phone call. Tom in Lincoln County, you're on Route 51. Hello, Tom.
Yes, I'm calling from Lincoln County. I would like an opinion from the people as to what the effects the kayak activities in Wausau have on our water level, the river flow, and whatnot.
Well, Sam Morgan, we'll give that to you.
I've answered this question so many times I could do it in my sleep. The short answer is the kayak races in Wausau have no effect on river flows upstream of Wausau or downstream of Wausau, and no effect on reservoir levels up north. If you're a little familiar with how the kayak course works in Wausau, basically, in downtown, the Wisconsin River divides into two channels, the East Channel and the West Channel, around an island called Clark's Island sitting out in the middle of the river. And in normal times, when they aren't doing kayak races, all the water goes down the West Channel of the Wisconsin River through the hydroelectric dam to make electricity. And when it comes time for the kayak races, which are held on the East Channel of the Wisconsin River, they will slow down the amount of water going through the hydro plant and open a little gate on the East Channel and put some of that water down the East Channel of the river. The net effect is that if you're 100 feet upstream from the kayak course, the river flow hasn't changed, and if you're 100 feet downstream, it hasn't changed. It's just a matter of while the kayak races are going on, it goes around one side of the island instead of around the other side of the island. So I know that's a common misconception, that kayak races require a bunch of water to be taken from the lakes up north. The fact of the matter is that's absolutely not true.
Tom, I'm sorry I can't give you a follow-up because we are plumb out of time, but thanks so much for the phone call. Jim, Sam, in the last few seconds we've got here, there's not much we can do except hope for rain in the long run.
Well, that's our plan. It's been nice to have 8 inches in June, and we're hoping maybe we get 8 inches in July, and I wish there was something we could do, but we try and manage with what we've got. But the ultimate answer is sooner or later, the law of averages will come back and we'll start getting some rain in the Northwoods. And we'll look back on this as a bad experience, but things will be back to normal again, we all hope.
Jim, you agree with that?
I agree with that. And there's also some good points. I mean, as I said, Mother Nature goes through these cycles, and some of these droughts are very beneficial for wildlife and fish.
Okay. We want to thank today's guests, Jim Bishop, Public Affairs Manager with the Department of Natural Resources, Sam Morgan, Vice President of Operations for Wisconsin Valley Improvement. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme, special music today by the Sons of the Pioneers, The Temptations, Elvis Presley, and Creedence Clearwater Revival. Next Thursday on Route 51, we feature State Senator Julie Lassa, Democratic candidate for the congressional seat being vacated by the retiring Dave Obey. A reminder, you can follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Have a safe and happy 4th of July. And until next week, we are heading out of town.